just on establishing meetings for, I don't know why you're going this way. Bugela, you know, in this chick, in the south, this chick on the Bugela, on the Mazlini, on the Bugela. With all the businesses who sent in advance of this meeting. And the beautiful CFC program as well. All members of the synagogue, this meeting is scheduled for 10 o'clock. I welcome everyone present. I declare the meeting open. A very important meeting where we deal with the South African Revenue Service. Welcome to the leader of the team, Mr. Tom Moyane, as the Commissioner of SARS. Playing a very important role in terms of the fiscal picture in South Africa. In terms of the division of revenue, because you can only divide revenue when you collect the revenue. That's how important this meeting is. Referring back to the national budget, referring back to the budget review, looking in advance to the MTBBS that will be tabled on the 31st of October, and you can write it down in your diaries. We just completed the draft program, the schedules for the whole interviews process. On the members this morning, I received a quarterly economic brief from the PBO, the Parliamentary Budget Office, and I requested my BA to circulate it to all members. It's very important that you also read that, because what is structured here will relate to what we're going to hear from SARS. Apologies, Mr. Ritu, one of the zombies, the standing one. It's a rule, there must be written apologies. Thank you for that. Without wasting any time further, Commissioner, I'm going to give over to you to take us through. On the levels, we're not dealing with any reports. We're dealing with a plan. What's the plan of SARS to collect our taxes? Introduce you the team that you brought us. Thank you for following this meeting with you. I'm going to give you 14 minutes. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, select committee and honourable members. My name is Tom Moyane, I'm the Commissioner of SARS. We are grateful for the invitation that this is my maiden appearance to this committee. I'm therefore grateful that I have this opportunity to interact with your honourable chairs. Indeed, honourable chair, I'm accompanied by my senior team for this presentation. On my immediate right, I have Mr. Jonas Makwawa, who is the acting chief officer operations. And immediately next to him is Ms. Makungu Ntebule, the acting chief officer strategy enablement and communication. And next to her is Mr. Maswana Makwa, the chief financial officer. And to the east extreme, I have Mr. Sanjay Mela, Executive Media and Public Relations. And to my left, I have Mr. Katito Dabe, acting group executive strategy analyst. It is my great honor, Chairperson, that I'm presenting to yourself the South Strategy and the ABP for the 2015-2016 and 2019-2020. We had hoped that the systems would assist us and for the members to be able to follow our presentation, but I believe that you have the hard copy at your disposal. Given this is our first appearance yourself, we'll give a high level presentation. It is highlighted for the copies that the strategic plan. In a nutshell, SARS will continue to improve the way SARS operates and works to to meet the real needs of taxpayers, who are key for our country and the economy, and ensure that we take place. We continue to invest in service employees to serve taxpayers better and to address sophisticated tools and schemes used by those taxpayers that want to avoid or evade paying their taxes. Our mantra, Chairperson, as we interact with taxpayers, we say it is good to pay our taxes. And it's a patriotic duty that taxes are paid timely and timely. We'll continue to collaborate with all our stakeholders to strengthen our compliance efforts. We'll certainly continue to apply risk management principles to focus our efforts on areas where we'll have the biggest effort effect on compliance. We'll also continue to use technology and available data intelligently to build a single economic view of taxpayers across many interactions. We'll certainly improve services to taxpayers, identify those taxpayers that fail to meet their tax and customs obligations, and to improve our internal efficiency and effectiveness. The plan is also to continue to educate taxpayers and potential taxpayers to improve compliance and to realize our objectives of an active and engaged citizenry. Hence, it links up with it is cool to pay our taxes. On the educational side, we work with the Department of Education that we should engender that the young and the upcoming future taxpayers should understand that taxpaying is a patriotic duty. We will also improve access and availability of such services to all citizens and taxpayers wherever they might be. And this will be exemplified by the mobile tax units that we deploy in the most rural areas, and we are also on the plan to have our capability to meet and touch everybody in the urban areas, including the ones that have proliferated in our country. In order for this, the key strategic initiative that we've embarked upon is to increase customer compliance. The customs compliance, the first of those will be implement the Customs Control and Customs Duty Act, which the President assented in 2014, which we're in the process of rolling out. We'll improve management of bonded warehouses. During the 2015-2016, we'll introduce mobile security systems, off-site tracking and management systems, and of course introduce a new case management system. These are interesting. We'll also deploy additional carbon container and budget scanner at every port of entry in our country. We want to report to yourself, Chairperson, and members of this committee, that we had an interaction with the Select Committee with a soft standing committee on finance, where we visited the port of Devon and Cape Town respectively to showcase the technology and capability that science is rolling out. We also want to implement the model port pilot project at second port of entry. We also want to continue to facilitate implementation of the one-stop port port between South Africa and Mozambique, and also South Africa and Zimbabwe respectively. Well, the second item is to increase tax compliance. We'll implement tax compliance programs, conduct work in the seven focus areas. These are large business and transfer prices, high net worth individuals and trusts, small businesses, tax practitioners and trade intermediaries, also dealing with illicit cigarettes, the construction industry, clothing and textile industry, chairperson of the members of this committee. Our economy can do much better if some of these sectors are solidified and we're able to deal with the issues that affect the issue of unemployment, which we shall deal with later. Implement processes for reduced debt owed by taxpayers to sign, a very serious matter. Roll out small business desk at our branch offices to support small business compliance. One report that over 130 small business desks have been rolled out to date. We'd like to continue to work with other tax jurisdictions in the world and countries on global tax compliance and enforcement issues to protect the erosion of sovereign tax. We also implement tax car agreements between Saudi and the United States of America, which came to be crucial countries that in October 2017. With respect to ease, increased ease and fairness of doing business with SARS, we shall do the following. Deliver an integrated complaint management process for next year, because it's important that we hear our voice as what are the issues that we need to deal with. If we deliver an improved dispute resolution management process, we'll also deliver an impact and improved tax clearance certificate process and system. Chairperson and the members,
would like to report that
the PCC system will interface with the proposed National Treasury Central Supply Database, which the Minister and Deputy Minister launched on the 3rd of September this year in the Eastern Cape, to enable a paperless and online verification of tax clearance data for suppliers wanting to do business with government. We also partner with the Department of Home Affairs with a tourism center for co-location. And we also establish a search slot at selected shopping malls and centers. With respect to the Chairperson's Commission, on the first item that I spoke about, we'll implement the integrated complaint management system in the next 2 years. On the third element, to increase cost effectiveness, internal efficiencies, and institutional responsibility of SARS, following a part of our plan. Continue the migration of SARS accounting practices to generally recognized accounting practices with Draft 27. Design and implement a revised code of ethics and conduct. Implement a new HR framework, including a new talent management model. On this particular one, it is important because SARS is people-centric. It is important, therefore, we are able to sustain our activities in the long term. So it is important that we are able to identify talent at an early stage, so we are able to make our country aware that we take our work seriously and then to sustain the business model that we have. We also implement a revised SARS operating model to eliminate duplication and improve efficiencies and effectiveness of our business practices. Chairperson, members of the committee, in our 2014-2015 strategic plan, we undertook to conduct a review of the following. On the left-hand side on the vertical, we'll deal with the operating model review, which I'll also look into ICT and modernization review. With respect to the operating model, the current state assessment of the organization is what we should be looked into. We'll review of the SAP operating model in its entirety, and we'll review SAP governance and decision-making processes. And of course, we'll create a roadmap to align the organization to a new operating model, which the Minister, Deputy Minister, and the SAP Board have assented to and have agreed that we embark on this model. On the information on the ICT modernization platform, the information technology strategy will be reviewed. We'll deal with the architecture and technology review. ICT sourcing procurement governance will be reviewed. Application development and project management will be reviewed. We'll also determine the return on investment of past expenditure on the modernization strategy that we've embarked upon. We'll look into current projects. We'll look into achievements against the plan and cost incurred versus original budget. And finally, we'll review IT contractual agreements, service level agreements, and ownership of intellectual property, which is very key for science. Because we need to be able to protect our IP in terms of the confidentiality of information that taxpayers have access to. I would like, therefore, to deal with our operating model review objectives. The objectives include smart capacity friendly internal and external functions and relationship with the following, which I did indicate, increase ease and fairness of doing business. We shall establish a customer-centric approach, which means therefore we'll have a service charter. We'll integrate service channels and establish single contact points for tax and customs. With respect to the operating model that we have embarked upon, the objective is to align on what I've indicated before to improve our capacity and internal and external functions with the following. Strengthen accountability. More often we take work that we do in another fair basis, we want therefore to strengthen accountability that all those who are within the SAR domain and leadership should be able to be accountable for what we do. We want to maintain a free tax and customs register, because it is the base upon which we'll be able to understand how many taxpayers are eligible for tax and how many taxpayers who are in our books. So a clean tax and customs register is key for SAR. We'll effectively utilize past economic research analysis data, because it is important that the data that we have are able to work on it and be able to understand what it gives us as a factor of the mandate that we have. We'll also tighten governance compliance, because it is a center of good citizens to understand the issue of compliance with respect to compliance and governance. We'll also apply cost containment principles, which are government-wide philosophy that is intended Chairperson, the operating model also supports and be aligned to improve staff capacity to handle the internal and international functions again on the following. On the issue of increased tax and customs compliance level, we'll also look into the taxpayer trade of profiles, allocate data levels to taxpayers rating, which I have gold, platinum, and silver, so that we are able to understand as to the levels of taxpayers that we have in our books. And find an employee-centric approach to protect our specialist skills. Because it is important that we have the best skills in the organization and also have a pipeline of young men and women who join our effort employer charter. And also apply systematic compliance enforcement approach. And I would like therefore to report on the significant progress that has been made to date with respect to the operating model. We have completed the diagnostic phase. We have conducted current state of assessment and identified areas of improvement and what needed to be done. As we report to yourself today on the 27th of September, this is the stage where we are. Looking for detailed solutions that seek to develop solutions and detailed plans to realize the improvements that we have identified in the diagnostic phase and how we're going to do it. And once we have gone that phase, we'll go to the implementation phase wherein we'll be doing it and in the implementation phase. We are currently developing solutions and details and to realize improvements for both reviews in both sectors. Like any other institution, like any other good foundation, we've used allegories and examples that a house has to be built on a sound foundation, and therefore sound is the same phenomenon. Chairperson, pursuant to the operating model review diagnostic, we have defined our transformation ambition and key strategic focus areas. Sound will materially increase revenue, and we've done so in the past year, moving from 979 billion to 986, surpassing the target that has been set by the minister and the country. And we want to ensure strong control over the border posts and become a customer and employee of central organization in order to move South Africa forward. This will be supported by the following. Turnaround customs and access. A new area that we have introduced, which has been a step up in a poorer step up. We have not focused too much on our customs and access session. We'll address the tax gap and increase tax compliance. Because the ability for the country to be involved in its domestic investment is our ability to collect as much revenue as possible. And therefore it is important for us to be able to identify areas where we can achieve more and reduce the deficit that the state is facing. And the third is to become a customer-centric organization wherein we bring the best skills in the organization. And our mantra and our philosophy is that our people are the key to unlocking all the problems and giving the solutions for the future. And finally, build a high-performance culture and operations. As you see, I will be speaking about dedication, passion for our people to work beyond the call of duty. This, on the support side, will be improved information service and technology at the service of our organization. And most importantly, implement a revised operating model to support our strategic priorities. But for us to be able to achieve this on the customer and exercise, we want to regain control, port control, increase border control, facilitate trade and increase revenue. The report that I gave that we had a meeting with staff visiting some of our facilities exemplifies some of the issues that we've been speaking about today. In order for us to take control of customs and excise, we have to ensure staff is adequately equipped with skills and resources and equipment. We also need to develop a highly effective inspection and audit team. We also need to improve stakeholder management. We also need to detect and manage risk accurately. And finally, improve control and flow of goods at our ports and access areas into the country. Because if we don't do this, we lose traction and will not be able to draw and bring as much revenue as it is. Customs by its nature contribute approximately 20% of the total amounts that SARS collects in the particular fiscal area. We also want to deal with the tax issues must step wherever you can confine. It is important that the scale is balanced, because in the manner in which it is, we have a chance gap, and therefore we need to find other processes where we can collect as much revenue as possible. We develop targeted initiatives to address small, medium, and enterprises non-compliance. We'll also launch comprehensive approach to address the high net worth individual tax gap. The World Wealth Organization indicates that South Africa has the highest perhaps the high net worth individuals in the world. And therefore it is important that South Africa and SARC in particular do this matter effectively and efficiently and be able to bring as much revenue into the tax. We'll expand our base erosion and profit shifting too, and enforce penalties on large corporations which are not compliant. We'll also build capacity and capability to enable audit and enforcement and collect debt. But most importantly, at the center, improve data management and case selection effectively. Because this is a set of data and analytics that will be able to give us the measure of our ability to collect as much revenue as possible. Chairperson and members of the committee, we've indicated that customer service is key. It's not a question of perception, it's a reality on the ground that tells the story. We want to provide high quality and efficient customer service. We want to deliver consistently, effectively, service by embedding customer-centric approach. We want to maximize efficiency by optimally utilizing people and resources. And we want to create a service channels network for the future. And we want to increase focus on taxpayer education. And we also want to reduce volumes by aim to automating and migrating activity. On operations management, here we deal with people and operations. Development of high performance culture is very key. We want to refine performance management and implement strategy. Align the sourcing with strategic priorities where they will have the largest impact. And we want to optimize our existing processes and supporting data architecture to meet business needs. By this, I mean all traders, taxpayers, small and medium enterprises. And also want to develop capabilities, including a tax research institute and data analytics. Chairperson, if we were to take a course, we are the owners of the trade statistics. We are the owners of tax information in this country. It is important, therefore, that as owners of the trade statistics, we should be able to play a pivotal role in influencing policy directions of the future as to where industries need to develop and to invest, and other institutions of higher learning to understand what the trade patterns are and what needs to be done. And therefore, analytics are very key. The tax research will become a key component in the new operating model. Best practice. Any organization that prides itself on being the best must also have best practice at the core of whatever it is. Information systems and technology has been an anchor for a number of organizations and countries. We are not immune to it. We need to up the ante on our service information and technology. We need to have fit for purpose IT systems. We should not be in a position wherein we have IT systems for the sake of having IT systems. There need to be systems that help us be able to reach the first in the tax and customs environment and implementation of global best practices and strengthen of bigger data capability, which means therefore connectivity with other tax and customs administrations in the world, including our own people. The operating model that has been approved by both the ministry, including the SARS board, is to launch a new operating model to allow our organization to be transformed and our strategy to be executed. As a measure of what we have discussed, in my introduction I spoke about acting people. I have an acting chief operating officer, I have an acting strategy, enablement and communication. Chairman, we cannot be acting, we need to continue on the path of having people who are accountable for the activities that we have before. And therefore, the operating model will address this. And we believe the next time we come to your meeting, we shall be having fully fledged officers who are responsible for the areas of competence. The SARS revised operating model, which has been approved by both the minister and the board, was recently communicated to the organization on the 18th of August. The operating model is a link between the old and the new that we aspire for. And therefore it has the following. At the organizational level, it will have to be a balanced structure aligned with the fund's strategic priorities. It will deal with accountabilities, clarify decision rights with single point of accountability. It will address values, where in looking to customer-centric, the value and high performance culture continues to improve for the benefit of both the taxpayers and our employees. On the issue of governance, we want to make it simple, effective, so that we are able to be accountable on the issues of compliance across the organization. With respect to capabilities, focus on employee development and building tech and customer expertise. I indicated that the business model will be simpler and better aligned with the achievement of our core mandate and strategic priorities. In order for us to take a review, our mandate is to effectively and efficiently collect all revenue due to the state. The new operating model is based on the three levels. At the bottom, it will have the support, which is finance, human capital and development, strategy and communication, legal counsel, internal audit, and of course, at intellectual level, tax issues, which will be able to do number crunching and provide a thought leadership. The enabler for this process will be the digital information technology enforcement, and these will be the prime movers in support of the core business. The pillars of SaaS, as defined in the new operating model, is defined as the two streams. Tax, which is business and individuals, customs and excise. The tax and customs and excise units will drive our strategic agenda for the future, foreseeable future. Chairperson, the SaaS transformation plan to be implemented over the next few years is as follows. We've indicated SaaS will materially increase revenue, ensure strong control over its borders, and become a customer and employee-centric organization in order to move further forward. The major key issue here is to implement tax and customs revenue collection on both the two pillars that we're talking about, customs and tax, and then customer and employee methodology. On the customs and excise, we have the two pillars at the top, and customs and tax collection. But what is key in the slide that you have there is that we have the people and the capabilities, which is in the middle. The people strategy is key for us. Our ability to source capability within the organization, but most importantly, to deal with the tax, customs and excise issue. Because an organization that is not taking care of its own people is an organization that will not last for the future. And therefore, our interest is to increase capability and train as much people and also retain as much skills that we have within the organization. We'll also have to enforce and enhance our sales channels. We need to build the volumes, the reduction thereof, workflow, workforce efficiency, customer-centric approach, and network of the future. The operating model will also look into the following: organization transition, governance, organization part policy, process improvement. But what is key, data intelligence. Because we have the information at our disposal, it's our ability to be able to crunch these numbers and be able to make sense out of what we have in our books. So we'll be able to have a register of intelligent classification. We'll need some data analytics to look into the trust that are proliferating within the business center and third-party data sourcing. And also, it is important that we have a high level data information. But much of all this is said and done, the taxpayer is key. The tax stakeholder management and regulatory channels need to be changed, have to be done. We'll have what is called national stakeholder management, which means we'll have to deal with local institutions, private tax organizations and institutions. We'll also have to deal with government regulations in order for the laws that we enact are complied with. But what one indicator as we migrate into a new operating model, we're busy with an intentionally reputable organization, Gartner, that is advising us as to how we need to move with the IT transformation in fact. What are the key next steps? On the operating model, SaaS will transition to align itself to the new operating model. We want to minimize disruption through transition process and maintain focus on core operations and revenue collection. The appointment of the new chief officers will take place, and interviews have been done in September. Interviews have taken place, and the minister approval is going to be sought in due course. The full transition of the new leadership will be announced and completed by the 31st of March so as to be aligned with the new financial year. But in the meantime, we'll have to roll up our sleeves and deal with the matters at hand. Finalize the detailed transformation plan, prioritize implementation solution, and commence the implementation process. The implementation process of the operating model starts in October 2015 this year. On the ICT and modernization review, SAD, as I have indicated, has taken all Gartner recommendations on board, and Gartner has recently been appointed to conduct phase 2 of the IT renewal program. The phase 2 program consists of 7 strategic IT projects that will be delivered and rolled out during the next 18 months. We have to, in the process, appoint a new chief officer responsible for digital information services and technology. There will be an appointment of external forensic auditors to further investigate potential deviations or violations, if any, on the PPMA if we have. And we'll do a detailed return on investment analysis on modernization expenditure for the past financial years. This is our history and the roadmap of SARS expenditure estimates of the MPF. This is covered in the strategic plan, page 20, page 46. In the 2015-2016, business as usual was at 9 billion, 9.7 billion, and initiatives and projects at close to 1 billion, and the total was 10.6 billion. 2016-2017, that increased to 10.5 billion on business as usual, and of course initiatives and projects will be sitting at half a billion, 575 million. For the outer years of 2017-2018, business as usual will increase to 11.4 billion, while our initiatives and projects will sit at 543 million. Chairperson and members of the committee, you will see that the increments from one financial year to the other for the 2015-2016 to the 2016, it has been around 4%, and 2016-2017 to 2017-18, the increase is 7%. But on a straight line, if you do a cumulative, it's approximately 6%. What is key, therefore, is our human resource capability and in taking sustainability of the organization to the future. We have, as we speak, 2015-2016, permanent employees at 13,350. We are, as a state organization and government, also sit with the issues of unemployment and trainee graduates that are outside. We have therefore brought in graduate trainees of a number of 121 and then temporary employees about 225. But as SAF is a specific organization that we seek skills in specific areas, it is important that we are focused and we deal with graduate trainees as a measure of strengthening capabilities in organization. Of the MTNF, we see that there is 13,510 and by the outer year 2017-2018, we are sitting at 13,300, but the ultimate goal is to reach 13,400. But if we measure ourselves with best organizations in the world, I think per capita we need to up the ante. When we look into our colleagues in Iran in particular, where we recently been just on tax, they have a tax base of 8 million taxpayers and they have a staff complement of 30,000, excluding customers. We're not therefore saying, Chairperson, that we need to blow to the fiscal by increasing our staff complement, but we need to be smart and use what you call the rational approach as to how best we can bring the rationals in the organization. But it is important that as we migrate during this difficult time, that we are able to put hands on that and collect as much revenue as possible. The similar example can be used for the UK, His Majesty Revenue, which we visited earlier this year. Just on, they have close to 45,000 employees, and in addition to the population, we are closer to each other, and therefore it is important therefore that we benchmark ourselves with the best organization in the world. In conclusion, Chairperson, we are operating in a volatile economic environment. Our capacity to collect the revenue optimally, efficiently, and effectively is impacted by these exogenous factors. South Africa's GDP growth is not in good shape. We want to inform you, as everybody will be aware, the manufacturing sector continues to disappoint in serious problems. The money and current surplus are also in Bosch Bank. We have faced in the previous and current years electricity constraints, and we face as a country high levels of unemployment. Our negative economic growth are not, we are facing are not a cyclical phenomenon or downturn, but it is a global sector which South Africa is not immune to, and therefore they should be now seen in the long term. Necessary adjustments will have to be made in the short term on economic growth and concomitantly revenue collection, and the target that has been set will have to be reviewed given the difficult times that the economy is going through. With that, Chairperson, we want to thank you very much for this opportunity granted to us. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Mugani, for this presentation. I noted the request for honorable for the shipping to be excused. Before we interrogate your report, your presentation, we have to adopt the rates and monetary allowance amendment of the revenue laws. We have to do it then to the ACC tomorrow. Why? It must be done before the MTPP is tabled. That's the process. That should have been done 4 weeks ago, but because of the MTPP program that impacted on our program, we couldn't do it. I just want to explain why are we doing it only today. So, all the members, we went through that process. We got the briefing. I put this then to the committee.
Can we get some lights here?
And the question is like, thank you. The report of the Select Committee on Finance on the Rights of Monetary Amounts and Amendment of Revenue Law School, P 15-2015, National Assembly, Section 77, dated the 22nd of September 2015. The Select Committee on Finance, having considered and examined the rights and monetary amounts and amendment of Revenue Law School, P 15-2015, National Assembly, Section 77, referred to it, and justified by the JTMS and Moneyball report in as agreed to the bill. I put this to the committee. Can we get a proposal of adoption? On the motion. Yes, you may.
I would like to vote.
This is the money bill. This is the money bill. Despite the change, money bill. I put this to the committee. Can I get a proposal for adoption? There's a move for adoption. Can I get a second, please? Honorable, welcome. Yeah. Welcome, he was also engaged in other meetings, but welcome at this meeting. For 2 seconds, then this report is duly adopted. It will be 80 seats this afternoon, appear tomorrow. And then at the first plenary, it will be today, it's impossible, in October, after we come back on the 11th or the 12th of October, it will be now. That's the best we can do with this. So thank you for that, Honourable Members. Please note that the Honourable Members are reserving their rights. The right in terms of the Constitution, we will be debating that this afternoon at 2 o'clock. And let's take that to back to the House at 2 o'clock. Thank you.
No,
let me show you. I want him here. Members, thank you again for stuff. The important thing is that came up is page 13, page 14, linked to page 24. That implementation is crucial because you need one body to do the work. You can have a fantastic plan in the world, but if you don't have people to do it, you've got a crisis. Also, they're working out with customer service, client care. It's a different picture we have now than about 20 years ago. Opening kiosks in certain shopping malls. Excellent. Don't forget Kimberley, we've got 2 malls. No. At the previous engagement, I think it was in February, March, I requested SARS to look at the possibility of opening an office in Springbok. Not everyone in the rural areas have access to IT equipment. There are old people living there, and this is those towns every quarter. And I get to question every time. And yes, when she asked me for a second tour of Martha Springwell, yes, we engage with that. What is possible in terms of your budget? So, if you can have a look at that. What we received today on the members, this presentation is also linked to the international agreements we dealt with in the past on tax. It forms a package of questions. If we make a case of questions, or FFC, are you ready? Let's take the presentation on the FFC as well. We are gaining some time. It's actually excellent. I'll give you 40 minutes as well. So members, please take down your questions, noted, and then they will be ample time for engagement. Are you linked to this? Yeah. System, you know, this oversight, I see Mozambique's name here and Zimbabwe, that we look at our oversight in terms of the border was one-stop center. One is Komatsport, if I'm correct, and the other one is Zimbabwe. Yes.
Framework. We want to report that it's part of our plan to open an office.
Are you ready, FNC? Honourable members, I'm advised we must go to our hard copies. Something is missing here between this table and that screen, and I can't hold it. Can we start? Do everyone have this document? Can we get an extra one for Esther? FFC presentation, please. Thank you. Let's introduce ourselves and then you can proceed.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, members. I'd like to first introduce myself. I am Ansuya Maharaj Dara and I am the Commission Secretary. To my right is Mr. Mabuso Bakwana. He's the Chief Financial Officer. As well as part of the delegation is Mr. Hendrik Steen, who is the Parliamentary Liaison Officer. On his way, in a few minutes, will be Commissioner Daniel Flaherty. He had to just step out for a minute, but he is definitely going to be here in a few minutes as well. Honorable Chair, I'd like to also render the apologies of Mr. Bongani Kumalo, the Acting Chairperson and Chief Executive of the FFC. Unfortunately, he had a prior engagement in Italy. He is the panel member on a presentation that's held by the SA Cities Network and the Shawnee Municipality. However, he has sent for his apologies. Thank you. If I can proceed, the hard copies will be delivered and the electronic version will come out now. Insofar as the content of presentation today, it will be just a brief introduction as well as the strategy development process in terms of stakeholder analysis, internal scan, external environmental scan, as well as the risk. Honorable Chair, we will be looking at the strategic outcome-oriented goals, the measurable strategic objectives and deliverables, outcome-oriented strategic objectives, as well as the strategy for our research. For the next 5 years. We will then look at the budget and 5-year financial performance analysis, whereafter we will conclude. In terms of a brief introduction, the Financial and Fiscal Commission was established in terms of Section 220 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. It is an independent juristic person that only subject to the Constitution as well as its enabling legislation in the Financial and Fiscal Commission as amended. The mandate of the FFC is to act as a consultative body, make recommendations and give advice to Parliament, provincial legislature, organized local government, and other organs of state on equitable division of revenue amongst the three spheres of government and any other financial and fiscal matters in terms of the constitution and as provided for in national legislation. Chair, in terms of our vision and mission, the vision of the FFC is to provide influential advice on an equitable, efficient and sustainable intergovernmental fiscal relations system. Mission is to provide proactive, expert and independent advice on promoting sustainable and equitable intergovernmental fiscal relations system through evidence-based policy analysis to ensure the realization of our constitutional values. The regulated framework on which we operate is set out in the presentation. That we are obviously starting off with the Constitution, the FFC Act and the various other legislative precepts. Insofar as the strategy development process is concerned, I will hand over to the CMO, Mr. Bokwane.
Thank you, Commissioner Kapotar. Let me also start by taking this opportunity, the honorable chair and the honorable member, for giving us this opportunity. I think how we went about developing the future, I think we looked at the external environmental and where FFC operates, and also we look at the internal environmental, and we also did stakeholder analysis in terms of the people and the organization that are looking, and then from there we went into developing the vision, the mission of the commission. From there, where we set up our strategic objectives and development, and also we look at the strategic choices that we should look at, and then we also look at the risks that are there, that are facing the commission. And then with other areas of implementing the selected strategies and also looking at the defined expected outcomes and where we set goals and develop action plans from there. And then in terms of stakeholder analysis, the 2016 local government election is agreed to continue to introduce a proportion of new legislators and members of progressive, some of whom will not send directly be familiar with South African intergovernmental relation and policy practice. Therefore, FFC first, by bringing these new entrants up to speed with the shortest possible time, and then will be key ensuring that appropriate policy decisions are made in the benefits that are intended to flow from them and not delayed. The Commission is constantly addressing ways in which it can address various layers of government and in the executive of its constitutionality. In terms of internal care, the Commission is often viewed that the following will have an impact on its performance. Implementing a new delivery model, this is an agent to respond to the output and quality issues and budget pressure, overcoming the skill shortage in the financial and economic analysis domains, which are core to the delivery of quality and relevant products of the Commission. Also, the need to keep up to date with technology changes, invest in social research technology that are mission critical for the work of the Commission. Cost of compliance, which remains high, is also another area that is part of the international, and treat the eradication of the legal of deficiency. Both national treasury sustained the 1% reduction in the baseline allocation and the Commission over the NCF, and the need to discriminate the use of the Commission's resources.
Of the external environmental scan, the Commission is also of the view that the following will have an impact on the future direction of the IDFR system. Domestic economic factors such as the power outages and so forth, the new growth plan and the NDP as adopted by government, which aims to introduce far-reaching interventions to deal with the poverty, inequality and employment, and the impact of the Parliamentary Budget Office on the budget process and how the Commission conducts its work. The risks that we have focused on is a historical financial deficit, which National Treasury has gone some way in addressing through the revision of the Commission's MTEF baseline allocation and the ever-increasing resources. an exponential increase in the demand of the Commission services by stakeholders, which is precipitated by the Commission's proactive stakeholder management approach, budget constraints in implementing adequate information technology systems. In a research-driven environment, the Commission access of up-to-date data and information system is absolutely critical, Chair. And in light of the past and continuing financial pressures, appropriate investment has often been deferred. The high cost of compliance to comply with certain data specific prescripts also have to be put on hold from time to time. For example, the use of official languages at the National Archives and Records Managed Service Act and so forth. The difficulty in attracting and retaining suitable research expertise and obtaining the specialist technical skills required, as there's not a large pool to actually access. In terms of these strategic outcome orientated goals, there are actually six goals that we looked at. Firstly, the first goal is a stable and innovative IGFR system. Here our goal statement is a system of interrupts IGFR in progressive, sustainable and equitable. Strategic foresight, where our statement is basically no surprises, future orientated and looking ahead. Influential and informed policy advice, where effective policies that are evidence-based, based on the results that are comprehensive and that add value. Knowledge management, relevant knowledge that enhances development impact and created and mobilized through the balance of interest and external specialized talent commensurate to the needs of the Commission. Success culture, a dynamic, productive organizational culture is created and nurtured, as well as balance, a balance of presence and future demands leading to the effective performance of the constraints of available resources is obviously being taken into account as well. Thereafter, Chair, if everybody does have a copy, we went through the measurable strategic objectives, looking at objectives as well as the deliverables from there, which I just scanned through those slides, 13, 14, 15, and 15. Those are actually the deliverables from there. But go to the outcome-oriented strategic objectives. Here, in terms of the strategic objective for stakeholder perspective, it's to profile the Commission with special focus on the mandate, vision, mission, the long-term strategy, the challenges and the achievements, to ensure that the Commission research is converted to policy advice and recommendations in languages is accessible to policymakers, to ensure that the policy advice and recommendations respond timely and proactively with stakeholders, to ensure the generation of quality, innovative, pioneering research that informs key IGFR strategic debate processes, as well as to produce evidence-based results. In terms of the strategic objective for the internal business processes, this is to ensure the progressive and innovative management of human resources that attract and retain key talent and leverages external expertise, to ensure the coordinated, coherent, high-quality, innovative, and cost-effective approach to ICT needs of the Commission, to ensure coordinated, cost-effective, and innovative management of the Commission's assets in support of the delivery of the mandate of the Commission, compliance with legislation, as well as superior performance. In terms of the strategic objective 5.3, learning and innovation, it's to ensure the creation of new knowledge, the institutionalization of such knowledge, and its transfer to other role players within the IGFR system, to ensure the coordinated, cost-effective and innovative acquisition and management of Commission data, information and knowledge resources in support of the Commission's mandate. Insofar as the strategy in the next 5 years when it comes to research and when you talk to Commissioner Plaike.
Good morning, honourable members. I'm just please being thought that I could give us another meeting, but the committee is quite efficient. So can I quickly jump to suggest to you that following that we have the strategy for research for the next 5 years. It's over the medium term, the Commission has defined the area of IGFR in support of national development. In there we're looking at 2014-15. The Commission to consider IGFR and infrastructure. Going forward, the Commission will look for 2015-16 as IGFR instruments in rural development. 2016-17 is a peri-urban focus on it. And peri-urban is essentially some of these informal settlements to areas that we have in our country and how developments take place in those areas. And then in 2017-18 there will be a focus on urbanization and urban development. So for the next year, for the 2015-16, identified instruments in rural development, looking at rural areas in South Africa and the importance of it at political, economic and demographical levels. Whilst 21 years of democracy has seen impressive accompaniments in terms of decreasing poverty and growth in the middle class, there are regions in the country that hardly see the benefits from growth in the country's more affluent regions. Our views also to the poor, especially in the rural areas, remain the most disadvantaged in terms of quality and access to services. So we also view then that part of the focus is to look at low income, rural balance, and often excluded from many of the government services, or quality of services provided in more affluent communities, with education, medical care, medical/healthcare, and other basic services like clean water and adequate sanitation facilities. We also view the significant component of service delivery in the rural areas, and consequently rural development is performed by provinces and local governments implementers of national policies. At this against the background, we have the view that the 2016 submission for the division of revenue is that South Africa has fiscal and structural challenges that impede effectiveness of rural development spending and programs. So the idea is to look at IGFR instruments as the key to improving economic housing in rural areas, thereby leading to improved rural growth and less inequality. So part of the 2015-16 submission is also to focus on central question which concerns IGFR instruments, how IGFR instruments rather can assist national governments and municipalities in stimulating, promoting and facilitating rural development. And the overriding message of the submission will be delivered under the theme rural development, fiscal resources to drive redistribution and poverty reduction. And it will be a strong focus on how rural development initiatives could actually inform national development by 2030. So aligned with the 5-year strategy and NDP, rural development is one of the top priorities that drive the immediate mandate of government. The NDP envisages to have eliminated poverty by 2030, rather alleviated poverty by 2030, and reduce disparities. We foresee that rural development appears to be the main tool to reach this would be achieved. The essence of our conversation is that we're saying that given the whole question of urban sprawl, but also the interconnectedness between metro cities and where urban development takes place, that there's indeed focus on rural areas. And part of the whole conversation that we would like to do for next year is also linked to our question of how should economies change. So on that, I'd like to hand over back to the CFO to talk to the budget questions, Chairperson.
Thank you. I think in terms of the strategic pillars that you mentioned earlier on, we tried to break down those strategic pillars in terms of the budget allocation, starting with the stakeholder perspective, which is one of the key areas of FSC in terms of ensuring that the profile of the Commission special focus on the Commission's mandate, which is a division of revenue. We break down in terms of the current allocation, also the next coming MTF. But I think the main allocation that we hold to ensure that the Commission's research is converted to policy advice and recommendation and written in language that policymakers can understand, which is the key of our research. We don't want to make research for the sake of research so that whatever that process is researching on is able to be put in front of the policymakers and decision makers within the government. And also another area of focus is an internal business process, which we have also followed the same process of breaking down in terms of the current budget and also over the MTF process. But the key there is to ensure that there's progressive and innovative management of human resources that attracts and develop and retain key talent and leverages to external perspectives. The other objective is to ensure the coordinated, coherent and high quality, innovative and cost-effective approach to ICT that remains the needs of the Commission and the Commission Secretariat and the stakeholders. And also the last one, to ensure that the coordinated, cost-effective and innovative management of the Commission's assets in support of the delivery model of the Commission's mandate. And then the other areas, we look at the learning and innovative of the Commission. But I think what is critical is that I should ensure is just go to the slide that subject to the budget of the Commission in the next coming MTF and also in the next coming year. I think the main key area that's the budget of the Commission that is focusing, it will be focused for the, on the amendment of the FSC Act, which was brought upon by version of the Commission budget that will mostly include the remuneration and the assets activation of those personnel. The other challenge is the network and hardware that has affected organizational productivity. It has become critical that the Commission attend to these requirements. The Commission has requested funding for this so that it could upgrade its system and to ensure the efficient carrying of the Commission strategic objectives. Another key focus area in terms of the budget will be to ensure that on the additional adults prepared by the government to the institution on Commission budget is to ensure that we produce the Commission's required mandate to honor the requests from the institution. And the Commission has paid travel accommodation costs around this area. We budgeted that at around 225,000 per annum and over the NTS levels. The other area is the overall Commission expenditure that has increased by 6% over the 5 years to 2014-15, and the baseline allocation has also increased by 26% due to increased demands in accordance with the Commission's mandate. And in adequate human resource capacity has necessitated the Commission outsource certain internal services such as human resource and management and internal audit services because of the size of the Commission. And three just functional measures have been in place to prevent this situation. However, we continue to increase our operational expenditure higher than the funding growth rate that has resulted in the budget pressure. We have also done some analysis in terms of the previous year's budget and also the audit outcomes and also put some projection for the 16-16 in terms of our performance plan.
Chairperson and members, in conclusion, on behalf of the other commissioners not here, we then would like to confirm that we commit ourselves to constitutional law and associated legislation to the mandate of the Financial and Fiscal Commission, that we would also ensure that we, over the years, manage the cost of compliance with regard to the financial management, public finance management, fiscal and financial management of the institution, that the budget of 12% increase that has been requested to facilitate compliance, and other requests are all in order to maintain the delivery model, maintain and sustain the delivery model of the Commission. Our funding challenges continue, and especially given the increasing focus that has been placed on urbanization and metro cities, but also the continuous movement of our citizens from to different areas, that's placed a continuous challenge on how the fiscal needs to respond to it. But also obviously the question of economic growth, which also leads to current revenue creation as the SARS property policy, the Commission of SARS property. But the Commission will continue to discharge its responsibility and mandate as set out in the Constitution. Many thanks to you, President.
Thank you, thank you to the FFC, the importance and also the engagement of the FFC in and with our provinces. That's very crucial. That's the thing. It's very crucial. And that's where we can also assist in facilitating that engagement. That they're not just thinking to members of the legislature, excluding the extra, involving every member in a collective meeting at the provincial election. That's very crucial. All the members' questions to SARS and the FFC. We recognize the presence of Honorable Geller. Welcome, Honorable Geller. Honorable Geller from Eastern Cape in Tata. Yeah. Yeah. He looks out to the Eastern Cape. Questions? Honorable Van Lingen. Anyone else? Presentations are very straightforward. What must happen after this? As looking at October, November, dealing with the MPPS and other legislative work. We are going to January. And I'm a supporter of Parliament to start it earlier in January. And I'm not very, very popular when I make that statement. That we engage with the annual report of SARS as well as the FFC. That gives the other picture. Looking at the plan, but going to the annual report and then measure. So the staff must just bear that in mind, but we will look at the January meetings. Honorable Mohai.
Thanks,
we congratulate Honorable Mohai with the training of his master's degree. No, no, wait, I'm on the floor. The acknowledgement of your academic achievements.
Thank you very much. I wish he could have been master's on tax law. Even that position we must be. Chair and honorable members, I think I joined there just after the commission started the presentation of SARS, and it's quite a good presentation. I am also having flagged that current economic situation poses much of a challenge in the both in domestically and globally. I just want to just say something with regard to SARS, with regard to human resource strategy. The capacity, human resource potential, is it broadly from institutions or it has got dedicated institutions so that it sends people to comply with specific kind of training? Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate the presentation by both SARS and the FFC. When it comes to SARS, I would like to ask a couple of questions. When we go to a SARS office as ordinary citizens, it is a painful experience. And I don't know when last you visited a SARS office incognito. Because it is really a very frustrating experience. I'm very happy to hear that you are doing the tax clearance certificate. That's going to be an electronic thing that we can do. That certainly is progress. When I look at your slide number 6, you, somewhere in your presentation you said South Africa has got the high net worth individuals in the world. I would like to see an analysis of that statement and what you base it on. And I'm not questioning your credibility here. I'm questioning the actual fact. Then when it comes to trust, you say that you want to ensure SARS compliance program, and you list various numbers amongst the high net worth, and you then refer to trust. My concern is community trust. And so often, it is a community trust which a developer does wind turbines or solar projects, so it's mega projects with social investment. It then goes into a community trust. And we do not have always have access into the individuals in that trust. If it's a company, we can do a search, but we can't have. We can't establish that the councillors are not involved in those trusts. And we can't resolve where the money goes. So that information to me is very important. And what processes we must follow. Then you talk about implement processes to review debt owed to tax by taxpayers to SARS. And I think a big culprit here is also municipalities, because municipalities do not consider SARS as a priority predator. And I would like to know what you would advise on that matter, because the VAT is not always paid as a first predator. Then you say you are doing a revised operating model. What I find very difficult to understand in the entire presentation is the time frame that's involved here. What you're going to do in year one, what you're going to do in year two, and so on. And maybe it's just because I do not fully understand what you have in mind. And as long as it's an improvement, it's absolutely fantastic. Information technology strategy and the review, and architecture and technology review. Now, normally these IT systems go with amazing costs, and I would like to know how far you are with this, how on target you are in terms of time frames and budget, when it comes to your customs office, I'm very happy to hear that you want to speed up what you did you call it, your stepchild or something, the customs offices. In the Eastern Cape, we've got three ports. So is that going to be an improvement? Because you know, for instance, and I just want to use it as an example, in St. Francis there are a number of yacht builders, and it's easier for them to land their stuff in Cape Town and then to bring it by road, because it's faster and easier to get it through customs. Every hour's delay is soaring costs. So it's either bit of a problem, and I'm very happy we went to Nuka the other day, visiting our new port, and also the Kuka development, the whole park there, and the establishment of a SARS office there, and the efficiency of the whole system is the issue that we would like to we promised and implemented a very good and speedy system. We talk about platinum, gold and silver taxpayers. I want to know how do you decide. Is the platinum one the one that religiously pays his tax, and the bronze one the one who does not pay his tax, or he plays in the red category? And then you say you want to address the tax gap and increase taxpayer compliance. And I can understand that you want to improve the efficiency of SARS. It makes sense to me. But what is me is that SARS cannot be held responsible for the deficit in the national fiscus, in the national budget. Because there, every other department has a responsibility to play. And I want to know, to what extent, what target have you got here as a tax gap that you would like to, in terms of a percentage, to what extent you want to increase that. And I think for the time being, that is enough, otherwise the other members will say I've stolen all the time, and the time is very little and precious at the moment. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me apologize for coming late. It's
not how I operate, you know that. But unfortunately, there was a miscommunication with the notification of the meeting. So, can I say my apology? And I hope I've missed most of the presentation. And you correct me if I shoot from the hip, which is not good as well. But your presentation, about the rollout of the small business desk, what one would like to find out, would this be done in all municipalities? Because basically some of these things are done in the bigger municipalities, and you'll find that most of the small businesses in the small municipalities, in the bigger municipalities, done in the beginning, not the small ones. And most of your service also is in the rural municipalities, so that's it. And the second one is the improved dispute resolution management process. There as well as one would be happy to also done in these rooms because it's mostly the most affected are small businesses. And you'll find out, Chairperson, that most of these small businesses will tend to run away when they own offices, and yet that, you know, there's that good relationship where you say, no, you don't need to run away. Let us resolve this matter, and we can resolve it in this manner. But then you also have to have experienced people dealing with it. Lastly, Chairperson, in the professional week, you are lucky to visit to Tanzania police station. And the station commander, they have a big problem with these foreign shops. They say they've been robbed quite a lot. Now, the reason for them being robbed, according to the report that we got from the was that these guys don't go and bank their money, they keep their money under the mattresses. And when we inquired, why don't you involve SARS, they said we're supposed to be sitting with SARS in our meeting, it was in Tanzania. And unfortunately, most of the meeting SARS is not there. And there's a whole lot of these activities. In fact, they, Chairperson, they actually kill each other. Because according to the commissioner, most of these puzzles are owned by one, maybe one or two guys and a syndicate. Now they kill each other so that they can rob each other. That's the information we got from them. But now, what plans can they be put in place to ensure that everybody complies with the tax law of this country? There are a lot of puzzle shops in houses all over, but some of this money goes out of the country. And the only way that SARS can find out this is happening is that he must sit with SAPS. And according to the information we have received, that most of those meetings, SARS is not there, and we're losing a lot of money that's going, and there's a whole lot of criminal activities that is happening. That's why I said, if you don't mind, if I should, that one comes out of the heap. Thank you.
In each region, in each province, there's a structure what I call the IGR forum. In my region, in Makwa, I've frequently attend those meetings. It's even in sub-regions or in the municipal area. And altogether, this is a matter that you can take to your region where you come from. It's great that stuff noted here, but it must be noted at a regional level as well. And that is under the authority of the Director General in the province. So, just giving you the picture. So, going back to your constituency, nationally, constituency work, that's where we engage then with our leadership in the province. In this case, the Director General. The Director General falls under the Premier's office. And let this thing feature down. Grassroots level. I'm just giving you the processes, but it's good that you make the point here. All right, short one.
I think if you've read me, is that the commissioner in Mthandazane knows that there's the ITR, but he's got a problem of not attending the meeting. That's what I'm trying to say. We know that in the ITR, but it's not working in that area. So a staff must address it because there's a whole lot of criminal activity.
I've got the point. I want to make use of this opportunity, Commissioner, to commend the office in Kimberley for their effectiveness and efficiency. It's a pleasure to walk into that facility and be treated in a professional way. Right, you can return it back.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have noted the number of comments and questions that are sought by the members here. Firstly, let's thank the members for taking an appreciation of our presentation. And secondly, I would respond, and my team will also jump in because there are a number of questions and clarifications that are sought. With respect to the HR strategy that is raised by Honorable Mahai, We are a specialized institution where we deal with tax and customs matters. Therefore, three spoke of the people that we attract mainly come from the institutions, and also it's an internal capacity that we develop ourselves. Because there are some things that are not taught in some of the institutions, therefore it has to be homegrown strategy that we do. Once we report here that SARS has what you call a SARS Institute of Learning and Leadership. And therefore, that's where we develop some of the capacities that we need. But equally, we have good relationship with institutions of higher learning, because that's where you have specialized capabilities with respect to the things that are taught in those institutions. Therefore, the resourcing of that human capital is from both internal and external. And therefore, there is no one-dimensional approach. But I want also to highlight to members that I did indicate that we are developing what you call the institute. As the internal, what you call think tank within SARS. We are owners of the trade statistics, and therefore it is important that we are able to have a sense of what the statistics tell us, and we can be able to influence policy and direction of this country. Because if we look at the trade statistics that we take this country at, and the volumes are this, and these are the problems by segmentation, and therefore our industries will take opportunities to where to focus. It is therefore important that we don't just sit with information which is a gold mine of information, both for from the political perspective and also for economic benefits. With respect to the issues raised by honorable member, which are various in approach, I must report here that I visited some of our offices in Cognito. In my previous life, in the current life, it is important not to ambush, but also that you can go at any office unannounced. Because your officials need to be able to know that officials can work in here. You, as a member of this committee, you represent the office and the government. But it's the service that we offer that is able to give us a sense as to whether we measure up to the mandate that we do. And I'm really much appreciative of the fact that you have had an experience that you share with us. As a commissioner and the team that I lead here, we take serious exception of our service. I would do the same if I go to a shop where I speak and tell Woolworth waiting, I don't get this, I'll have to complain. So now that we're not expensive, but the alternative is that we need to create attraction to a point where in our employees understand the culture and mantra that we're here to serve. That's what we say. But where there is poor service, it is our duty therefore that we do this. I'd like to draw the attention that on slide 17 where we said that we deliver consistent, effective service by embedding a customer-centric approach in quality. And we are saying that we need also to maximize efficiency by optimally utilizing people and resources. So it is the people who are the first line that gives the perception as to whether we provide a good service or not. But certainly, I lament and sincerely, I feel bad that you've not been given a good service. But it's a mixed bag. In society, you have those who will work beyond the call of duty. But I would like to see the diminishing return in terms of people who are not doing the job minimized in size. So we engender what culture. that we have what you call 99%, but in one point or the other will be disappointment, but that should not affect the culture of staff. With respect to the TCC matter, yes, we're working together with National Treasury, and certainly this is a measure of dealing with the fraud that the tax clearance certificate might cause and harmful to business. And therefore the coming to being of an electronic approach of instituting or issuing the TCC in that manner would help us to be able to reduce, to make it efficient, speedy, and you can do it in the comfort of your house, and we can do forensics as to whether that TC is part of our network, of our footprint. Now, with respect to high net worth individuals, which the honorable member would like to have an assessment, I therefore would like to say that if you go to international reports, the World Wealth Report, it does indicate that what we are saying is a factor of what is being done internationally, and therefore we are part of the institution. The international fora that we attend also give us a perspective as well as South Africa sees with high net worth individuals. We are also doing our own research in terms of the complexities around high net worth individuals that sit in our country and who in their nation may be paying their tax dues, others may and may not, and therefore it's important that we create that visibility in South Africa to deal with that. With respect to trust, we use a generic name, trust, that community trust, and therefore our focus will not be painting all trust with the same paint. There are trusts that are created by multinationals, which are so convoluted, so that they become aware. The trust that Moyani and others may have are simple trusts that seek to engender family needs. But there are trusts that are established by huge corporations, and those at times which, without disclosing, because it's our nature not to disclose tax information, have become so pervasive, and they have an impact on the fiscal and our capability to collect as much revenue as possible. And therefore, by their nature, funds will take a very strong stance, because it's against the principles of citizenry and good corporate citizens up on the side of the business. And it is important, therefore, that the trust that seeks to evade tax and pay the dues, you would agree with me that we should take a very firm stance. But those that are in community that are doing well, it is our duty that the audits are done in a manner that is not.
The commission just complete on community trust and then you do your follow-up.
Well, the community trust will interface with the master of the office, so that we have sent us to their compliance status. But certainly any other tax and government jurisdiction has a measure of getting to understand whether the trusts are compliant. But I'm not sure that the honorable member will be talking on the same issue.
Solution. I think the question is around accessibility of the data of those trusts and in the community trusts. And we are saying that we are in discussions with the master's office to ensure that the information for trusts can be accessible. We are integrating our systems together with them, because at this stage they're actually more manual, well automated. So we're trying to ensure that there is alignment. And I think once that is completed, you should be able to access and see who are the trustees of which trust. At this stage, it's not possible because we are busy integrating the system.
Okay, now you can do a follow-up.
Thank you, Jason. Very often, this community trust that's being set up by a developer, it is managed by two people. And suddenly you see that over a period of a year, or maybe 2 years, R1 million disappears in management fees. My question is, do I write to the receiver, or SARS, to tell SARS, this is the community trust, this is what is happening, and what is being done here, because has any financial statements been handed in terms of this financial, of this community trust? We have one in Kofa and we've got one in the Dipsy Karma, and it's just very, very worrying that that community money is not getting to the ground and the people are not benefiting in terms of projects and school projects and so on.
Thanks, Honourable Member. I think you would need to, those classes in water staff, so that we can take measures and appropriately get their measures, so that you don't have community trust money being used in an inappropriate manner. Certainly our offices are at your disposal to deal with such matters. I hope that to address, because we might not be able to deal with this matter in this meeting, but offline would be grateful that we have the name of the trust and the details so that we can deal with them. But also would like to confirm with us that we'll deal with this matter with confidentiality that it is.
I think after the meeting, the Honourable Member can be to the Commissioner and maybe put it in an email to the Commissioner. Thank you. Please. Rashid?
I'll request my Chief Financial Officer to respond. I'll give him time to apply his mind. He has taken note on the reduction of debt owed to staff by the municipalities and other institutions. With respect to the two things that you have mentioned, Honourable Member, the operating model. In our presentation, we did use the timeline, but we did the diagnostics. This is where we are in the implementation. I did indicate that in terms of the structure has been approved by both the minister and the board, and therefore we have started the process of interviews and we shall be filling the positions. And I did indicate that by the 31st of March, we should have a fully fledged leadership core, and therefore to be able to deal with the structural issues where you don't have our meaning actors. So we should be in a position to have a clean bill of health in terms of leadership. The timelines are very clear. We have already started the roadmap, and certainly in terms of the operating model, it does not have a definite date, because operating models in their nature, they have a capacity of change as we go through the changes that we go through the process. We have an 18-month window wherein we should have stability being entrenched within sight. And therefore, if you look at the presentation that we gave yourselves, is that we are dealing with those in terms of the timeline that we have provided on our members. With respect to the ICT, which we have actually captured, ICT reviews are expensive. And we want to indicate that we're not going to be reckless in the approach of dealing with this matter. ICT reviews are done in organizations that have changed the direction of their destinies. And therefore, SARS has embarked on the modernization strategy from 2007, and therefore it's about time that we take a pause and assess whether we have attained the objective for which we have set ourselves. If the project that and the project that we have embarked upon are giving us the necessary results, there is no need to change that. And therefore, what we'll be doing is to scaffold and strengthen the areas where we see weaknesses. Because IT by itself is a very expensive process, and therefore we are being advised by a reputable international organization called Gartner. And therefore it is our duty to be able to listen to good advice so that we are able to provide staff and the taxpayers with an IT footprint that is a congruence to the situation in which we are. We would like to thank you for also accepting that there is a poor step cousin, which was customs and SIs would be given prominence. Because it is important that from the World Customs Organization, customs play a pivotal role in the security of state. Because we are able to stop anything that is illegal coming to this country, but at the same time generate revenue from the transition of goods and services into our country. Differentiation of taxpayers, I leave it to my Chief Operating Officer of Platinum, Silver and Gold, whether somebody who pays well is will be able to explain that. It is important, like any other institution, it is not by chance that banks have this differentiation because of appreciation that you have a taxpayer of good standing. And therefore it is important also to engender into the taxpayer's mind that we appreciate the contribution that we make in the tax that we pay. And therefore people migrate from gold to silver to platinum. I don't know what is ultra platinum, but we will be able to do that.
Go to first class.
With respect to tax app, honourable members, tax app is a problem that affects all countries in the world. It's not unique to South Africa.
every tax and customs administration would like to benefit and harness all the potential that it's able to get in terms of the ability to collect as much tax as possible. So we're looking at all efforts that are available, and therefore the tax gap analysis is a measure of how much we may be given the limited resources that we have as a state to bring into the kitty. So it's a study. We have a team that we are establishing, a tax gap and a tax institute will be a think tank that will be seized with looking at all avenues that are available for the state to be able to deal with these matters. The issue of the small desk, my commissioners, my colleagues will raise that. Dan, I think, Chair, you have captured that in essence. As a commissioner, I'm hearing for the first time. I consulted the team here. We're hearing for the first time. Certainly, SARS need to be part and parcel of the government whole approach to dealing with the issue of criminality and also addressing the issue of what you call illegal threat. We are also dealing with what we call the cash economy. And also, that's not only SARS. We need also to bring FIC. We need to bring the banks, because people who don't have like, registered companies cannot bank. And therefore, we need to bring everything that is outside the net into the net. And therefore, the issue that my colleague here also, that the Financial and Fiscal Commission, I think they assist with, and therefore, it's an overall approach that we need to deal with. Hopefully, we have tried to respond to all the questions, and some which we have not been able to actually respond to, we are prepared to provide in writing to yourself. I'll therefore request some of my colleagues and senior leadership to respond to some of the questions. Some is debt, and the other one is small business. Thank you very much, Chairperson, with your permission, if I may do so.
Thank you, Commissioner and Chair and members. On the issue of debt, it's a very serious matter. Our debt book is actually growing. We are sitting at 97 billion rand that is owed to the state. In there is different categories of taxpayers. And it is a serious matter which actually has an impact on the revenue collection overall. The manor's question was more about the municipalities. What are we doing about municipalities that are owing debt? We have a dedicated team that actually engages with municipalities and monitors the conduct and behavior of municipalities. But at the same time, to provide the...
Order, can you please focus on the response?
Also on the advice and educating all taxpayers, particularly in the public sector, of their responsibility to comply with the laws of the country. But most importantly, we engage constantly with SARGA to ensure that we combine and our efforts in ensuring that less and less municipalities become non-compliant. So we're actually eliminating the non-compliant ones by helping them really do the right thing. And on the other hand, also we're embarking on federal projects to recover all the money that is being owed to SARS. On the issue of classification of taxpayers, the platinum LLC is the most behaving one. We've got four pillars of compliance, which is first registration, filing of returns, declaration of the correct amount, and payment. So if you get tick on all those four, we classify you as our platinum client or taxpayer, and you actually get tailor-made service. Of course, when you get a 3, 6 on 4, you are gold, so your service is differentiated as well. But when you are in the bottom tier, which is bronze, you get the normal service that any other person gets. You queue, if there's long queues, you queue there. Because, I mean, you can't... Everybody were adopting the approach that the banks are taking in terms of really giving proper service to people that deserve that proper service. So this process is underway, and we want to make sure that taxpayers that are at the top tier, you really feel it when you are being serviced, that I've really got a service that I deserve. At this stage, if you are the more behaving, more compliant taxpayer, you queue, and we are going to actually change that picture. As for the small business debt, we are not discriminating. Most business, small business, actually, small business are in the smaller and rural area, and our intention is to grow those businesses. So our approach and our strategy is not to use big municipalities, but overall. Even every South Branch, if you go, you will find that it's a small business. And that's what we are providing service to. And we want to make sure that maybe even expand in those areas where we monitor the volumes and we pick up that there is large volumes of small businesses. If we have one desk, we might expand to two or three desks to ensure that we efficiently service the taxpayers. I just want also maybe to add on the issue of the ICT review and the time frame, where it was asked, do we have a time frame? Like the Commissioner said, the modernization program started in 2007. But modernization or improvement in IIT cannot actually be time-framed and say we are finished or whatever. It's a continuous process because IT technology continues to improve. If we are going to stop and say this is 5 years and we are done, we will find ourselves being left behind. But at this stage, we actually have to start thinking about the text of tomorrow, not the text of today. Because in future, we should also be anticipating that there will be much less paper being used. Technology will actually be taking over our lives, and we also have to be in line with that. And the other issue was also on the issue of the tax payment certificates that the Commissioner spoke about. That's to add that this is one of the most brilliant innovation, I think, and collaboration between South and National Treasury. That on a yearly basis, we receive about more than 2 million taxpayers in our branch offices to come and apply for tax payment certificates or to come and collect their tax payment certificates. And we print over 10 million tax payment certificates. All this comes the 1st of April next year. It will be a thing of the past. There won't be any need for anybody to go and queue in an office. There won't even be a need for anyone to carry a paper tax payment certificate. So they actually get it electronically. You can log in wherever you are and actually get your tax payment certificate. Obviously, you have to have complied. If you go, you can even see your status on the system. Where you are, and so upfront, before you even apply, you know whether you qualify or not. And until you actually solve those issues that are outstanding, you won't get a certificate. You won't even bother to apply, you have to first resolve your issues. So I think we are moving ahead in terms of ensuring that there is better service to taxpayers. I think those are the additional issues.
Thank you, Commissioner Tex Chairperson. Honourable members, on the issue that was raised by the honourable member on dispute resolution mechanisms, maybe we need to mention that we always strive to engage and educate taxpayers at all levels. But nevertheless, we strive to encourage the alternative dispute resolution mechanism. I'm sure everybody has heard about it. As a first step, so that you know we can save time and money for the taxpayer as well. If we don't succeed or the taxpayer is not happy or staff is not happy, then we'll go to the next level. That's when a matter will eventually be taken to court. But it also depends on the amount as well, because we try and make sure that the cases with smaller amounts, less than 500,000, we take them to the tax court, and then they get settled there. We also have our National Appeals Committee, where matters matters are looked at for possible resolution. And if there's no resolution that's reached, it goes to the next level. So we go the first tier, the second tier, and so forth. If we can't settle, we go to court. So I'm just trying to explain that we've got various levels at which we look at the manner in which we resolve disputes with taxpayers. Thank you.
Where does the tax ombuds fit into the whole picture?
Thank you, Chair. The tax ombud actually is not part of the internal dispute resolution process. It's where a taxpayer is not satisfied, especially with the procedural aspect, not the material aspect. So they would approach the tax ombud to say we're not happy with the manner in which our issue has been dealt with. Maybe that has neglected a step somewhere because it's mostly procedural, not the material aspect. So the tax ombud would look at the matter and sort of adjudicate and engage us as well. And we receive consent reports from the tax ombud so that we can analyze the kind of issues that get raised there so that we prevent this kind of problem from resurfacing again. Thank you, Chair.
Any follow-up for Sishak?
Thank you for the opportunity, Chairperson. I've heard the motivation that obviously you're going to be migrating to a very sophisticated IT system, which I think is great. The question arises in the back of my mind is then how rural are your offices then going to be? For example, my thoughts now lead me to meetings in the Appropriations Committee where, we're appropriating millions, for example, to tribal authorities and chiefs, etc. Then, based on your system, how are you going to address these issues in the rural areas? And then lastly, the 97 billion that is currently in arrears, maybe you just want to then actually expand on what strategic plans you have in place to address this.
Thank you, Chair. We did take the issue of rural areas into account in developing the systems. We have got what we call the mobile tech unit. That actually goes to rural areas, which has got all the equipment. Where on the stations of where we and we communicate with community radios as well and the community as well on the ground as when we will be visiting to provide such service. But on the other hand, we're also joining forces with other government departments. As the Commissioner mentioned, the Tudong centers where you have Home Affairs, DTI, and we are going to locate ourselves there to ensure that we provide a service, as well as into the shopping malls. There's shopping malls in the rural areas as well these days. So we want to actually make sure that we are there for the taxpayers. We don't want taxpayers to travel hundreds of kilometers to actually go to a south of you. So that is what we're actually doing. But at the same time, it's also to ensure we educate people in terms of technology, how to actually use those systems as well. On the issue of the debt book, we have in our strategies embarked on a plan partly to outsource the debt that is actually outstanding to debt collection agencies, but at the same time we also have to minimize it going forward and don't build up the backlog, because this is a backlog of sometimes even the debt is more than 5 years. So we need to make sure our new strategy is that if you owe or you miss a deadline of either paying or filing a return, that will be interacting with you within the first 2 days. Interacting, reminding you of your obligation. And if you still don't actually comply, you will then be handed over to our enforcement division, where the interaction would not actually be a smiling one, it would be more aggressive, because you have been reminded several times. And also, if you have questions, you are allowed an opportunity to clarify whatever you want to clarify. So that is actually going to make sure that we are out of the debt as immediately as and then it arises, so we can minimize that it actually grows again.
Morning, you know, when somebody answers you and you don't see the person, you can't go to the door. I'm worried about this person here. I didn't believe it to be that beautiful lady. I just heard a wonderful voice.
Yeah, it's the design of the world.
You can't really
do nothing about it. Order.
I'm not sure person, commission. You know this, when it to our constituency work, commissioner, this always comes up, especially in this small town, rural town. Quite a lot happening regarding people who are not registered for things, but doing business and competing with our people. Now, is it possible, maybe, yourself speaking to SAPS nationally, that you can have some of these, some rate in the rural towns. You see them in the big towns, but there's nice thought happening there. And we get a lot of complaints from businesses. And I know I've had complaints from the business sector in the KLG area. There's quite a lot happening there. So is that possible to, in future, think about doing that, you know? To see if these businesses, do they really comply? Thank you. Whether you don't answer that.
Yeah. Any other follow-ups? Do such? None? Final? Chair, I would like to thank you profusely for the opportunity, but also in terms of the honorable member issue. It is our duty that we rid ourselves of illicit activity and illicit economy. Recently we've heard about Operation Sierra. It's a collaboration approach by all entities of government. But certainly it's also the duty of Slovakian nationals to report issues where illicit crime being committed and people not compliant with the law. I am grateful that you have had this opportunity, and if should have any other issue that the members would like to raise with us, we are at their disposal to take that on board, and when next we meet at the same time we'll be able to provide on a continuous basis to your office some of the issues that my wife raised with you. From my perspective, Chairperson, in terms of the responses we have provided, everything that we believe that we need to cover. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Patients to the FFC. We're engaging with them tomorrow in a very, very important meeting on the Division of Revenue 2016-17. And all members must be present at that meeting. Yes, Honorable Fanlon.
Listen, I've got great respect for the work done by the FFC. And I've just read chapter 12 of the impact of demarcations on the fiscal performance and sustainability of municipalities. A wonderful, wonderful piece of research. And my question is, and I marked it here on, and I don't know which page it is, but I want to know to what extent are we adhering or listening to this department that is giving us sound advice. Because they are giving us sound advice. And they're telling us you can do that or you shouldn't do that. And then are we listening to it? Or are these reports being reviewed to us much later when the decision has taken place, where we should have a transparent approach that the report is submitted to members of parliament, the same time it is released to cabinet so that we can all make an informed decision. So when this department makes a recommendation or writes a report, how much clout have they got? How much power have they got to actually, that we can say, but there's the report, it is marvelous, we agree with it, can we implement it? How much clout do they have?
Make recommendations to the Minister of Finance, for example. They are present in budget council meetings. They are present in budget forum meetings where we deal with local government. There's one coming up next Tuesday, the 29th. So, and they also make their presentations to portfolio committees in the National Assembly. Unfortunately,
is then referred to us after the presentation is done in the end, and that's the parliamentary process. But the MFC, you may reply. Are there any other questions to the MFC? No. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and thank you to the honourable member for the question. Can I just firstly just join the chairperson in congratulating Honourable Faisal Mohai for joining the Palace of Academic Prosperity. I don't know how that's coming, that's what the Palace of Public Representatives was, probably it's an add-on for him, you know.
Adding value to the work of Parliament, the committee, and the country as such.
Hallelujah. Yes, listen,
Order. Please,
I was saying that because Compromise is also a political advocate of the role of the Financial Fiscal Commission. And I'm sorry you don't see me, but we've been complaining many times in the country to the room that I don't know how you can do transparency here, but some of the members know me.
Excuse me, before you proceed, we excuse us, the delegation, if they want to leave, you're welcome. We've done with you. Thank you very much in honoring this engagement. We see you on the 22nd of October again on the MTPBS, and then maybe in January. Thank you.
Chair, the question of Italy and the whole question of the autonomy and independence of financial institutions, of constitutional profits, because one of those institutions that constitutionally support democracy within South Africa, but also on the fiscal side, with your comments to the advisory nature of the budget. Our work is advisory, our work is constitutional, and our work is of the law. We cannot dictate to the Minister of Finance or to the ESCs vis-a-vis the revision of revenue and the allocation. What we advise is on how the budget ought to be influenced and what are the effects of facts based on evidence-based policy research, but based also on our assessment of the spending pressures within the country. We make our recommendations there. There has been concern late last year with regard to the funds for the legislation of the FSC and the role that the only place. Other than that, it's essentially advisory based on our view of the Division of Revenue before the Minister tables it. But more of a report to Parliament, and it's incumbent on committees like yours to be able to look at what the Commission will provide the annual basis and then see how you then take us forward in terms of the national budget. So that's our role and that's how we can perform it. And you correctly indicated that there are technical committees, our technical staff are involved in a number of technical and political structures when it comes to the public finance and fiscal management landscape of the country. Thank you.
Any additions? None. Any follow-up? None. Thank you then to the FFC for your presentation. We'll meet with you again tomorrow, and then after the opening of the MTPS. Thank you very much. We've got an issue, we've got some housekeeping to do. So thank you for honoring this meeting. Also members, that concludes the presentation. We're not correcting. I request tomorrow, after the Senate promoting appropriations method, we just deal with the provincial treasurer's report. It was circulated weeks ago, about a month ago. The other one is our oversight to in that report is also circulated, and that we deal with those reports tomorrow at the minute. If that's in order we do, there's no federalist tomorrow afternoon, so we can cover all our budgets as we have to.
Tomorrow afternoon, the last flight before Elizabeth leaves 4 o'clock.
We will be well ahead of time, and you will be in time for your flight. No problem. In actual fact, I must be at the airport in Abadi. Thank you for the staff arranging our oversight visits and all the arrangements that went with that. Honourable members, we received correspondence from the chairperson of NCOP, Honourable Lise, regarding matters that came out during taking Parliament to the people in the Eden district. We received the correspondence, I gave it to the secretary, and it will be referred to us through the ATC. And then we will deal with the matters that comes to the Select Committee on time. Well, then you may just put it on the agenda that we can deal with it shortly, because it's very important within the context of putting the people first. Lastly, honourable members, the program has been circulated for October, November. You will note that the program is packed. So we call on all our members to be present in all these meetings. So that is the final goal for 2015. And we will adjourn around about the 21st, 26th of November. And we will already in November deal with our meeting schedule for January, February, the first time in 2016. Are there any other issues you want to put to our attention? Going into constituency weeks, so we've got a lot of work to go do, pick up the issues and bring them straight to Parliament. Honourable members, that brings us to the end of the Honourable Mark. Yes, no. It's a very important point you are raising, Uncle Mohai. Yes, in Western Bank is one of the provinces we must deal with for an oversight visit. It makes it easier because we are in Cape Town. We can call stakeholders here and even dive wherever we want to. So yes, it must be part of our program. Maybe before we attend tomorrow, everyone going is on the way, that we sit with the staff just to get a framework, that we see where we can fit it in. Please, the staff, please take note of that. Thank you, honourable members. This meeting is adjourned. Good luck, Henry.